Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com.
I just love looking out on all you beautiful people. Thank you so much. I'm just going to take a few moments this morning to share a word with you. I know that Pastor David has been sharing a great series on partnership, isn't that right? Isn't it amazing that God gets us to partner with him? Think about it. You know, everything was going good. You know, he had heaven, he had earth, he had all the angels. There was that harmony. You know, everything was sweet. But you know, God is love. I was thinking about this morning. He's got so much love. He just couldn't contain it, and he made man. He wanted to make us. He wanted us to. And we get to partner with God. Isn't that fantastic? Wow. That he get. And I mean, he must have. He set himself a challenge, believe me. How many of you know that? You know what I'm saying? He set himself a challenge, but that's the love of God. Aren't you glad? You know, and we build on remembrance. You know, remembering everything Jesus did for you. I want to encourage you this morning. You know, like you were saying, it can be tough, there can be challenges, but God is for you. Amen. And when he is for you, nothing or no one can be against you. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, give him a praise break. Give him a praise offering. And he's for you. Don't despair. Don't be hopeless. You will make it. Eh? You're looking good. Tell your neighbor you're looking good. Do you know, whether we realize it or not, every one of us are in the building process. We're all building. We're building a life. Building a marriage, building a family, building relationships. Maybe you're helping. You've been promoted and you're building a team at your workplace. Maybe you're building a business. And we all get, when we're all part of God's family, we get to participate in building his house. This is his house, the church. You're his house. You're one of the lively stones. Three stripes, I go faster. Lively. Stones that he brings into his house and joins together. And we all have a part to play, every one of us. And we also, you know, the God's word tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God lives in us. So we're building him a house on the inside for him to dwell in. Isn't that great? That we get to do that, but we get his help. And our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we do that with the help of the Holy Ghost. You know, I had a wee video clip I was going to show, but it was about a three-story building in India that had been built, but the foundation wasn't strong enough or deep enough to sustain the building, and the whole thing collapsed. Foundations are important. You know, the higher you want to go, the deeper you have to put your foundation. The higher you want to go in your business, the higher we want to go in our church, means we're going to have to dig deep and put in good foundations. Isn't that the truth? You know, before, you know, many years ago, I was a draftswoman stroke tracer. So I know all about foundations. I worked for an architect at one time when we were in Africa. And I know how strong and how important foundations are. I know how important it is. You see, a foundation can be saved if it's a solid foundation. You know, so even although things, but if it's a crumbling foundation, you can't save it. Do you know that? Think about the Roman art. When Paul was talking about foundations, he was probably talking about the Romans and the way they built in those days. I mean, they're digging up thousands of years later and they're still finding the foundations intact. You know, because those guys knew how to build. They know, and you know, how many of you know it takes time to put a foundation in? Sometimes, you know, you see them building these skyscrapers and everything, and you just see cranes, reinforced steel, everything, and it can be there for years, but they're still just building the foundation. And, you know, you can build on the surface, but if there's nothing underneath it, you know, maybe that boyfriend that you were talking about, maybe it all looks good on the surface. Maybe that investment looks good on the surface. Maybe that all looks good on the surface. But when the charisma wears off, what's going to be left? When the charisma wears off, you're left with the character. You see, so we get to build, and that's most important. You know, Paul spoke about it in 1 Corinthians 3, 5 to 15. I'm reading from the TPT. He says, he's talking here about the church. He says, who is Apollos really, or who is Paul? Aren't we both just servants through whom you believed our message? Aren't each of us doing the ministry the Lord has assigned to us? I was the one who planted the church. Paul's saying, I know about planting churches. That's our anointing, that apostolic anointing to plant churches. We plant. You know, we all have a part to play. He says, I know about planting the churches. And Apollos came and cared for it. You know, there's a great example in this church. We planted, and then Pastor Dave, and he's pastoring, he's caring. But it's God's church, it's the same church. He didn't have to set a new foundation. Do you see that? He's building on it. Amen. He probably will build it higher and stronger. Amen. And whoever comes after him, who's going to come after? You know what I mean? Because we're unless Jesus comes first, we're going to be with him. Amen. But we can, if it's a good foundation, why do you think there's so many churches in this land that say they're not there anymore? Because we're the lively stones fitly joined together. And that those God will continue to bring those lively stones in. He's got a plan. I want to tell you what's important in building is you, first of all, you need the plan. You need the blueprint. And God gives that blueprint to the visionary. You know, that's how you build houses. And then everybody comes in and does their bit, working with. But God is the chief architect. And whether you're building a marriage, he's the chief architect. He's given us the instructions. There's the manual. Stay sweet. You know, my husband said when he married me, he knew my surname was right. But he didn't know my first name was Always. Somebody asked him, he says, how have you been married over 50 years? He says, I've got two words that I'll use all the time. Yes, dear. But stay sweet. Work out some of these good things that's in us. Love, joy, peace, good word. That's how you build. How do you build your children? We need to fight for our children in the days that we live in. We need to fight for them. How do we build? How do we build? I know we've taught this many times in the church. You've heard it. We Lego. That Greek word Lego is to build. Lego, that's where we get the building blocks. How do we Lego it? With our words. Tell your children you're doing great. Encourage them. Encourage your wife, encourage your husband, encourage your friends, encourage your pastors, encourage one another. Build with your words. Yeah. Eh? Amen. That's how we build. That's how we partner together with God. We say what He says. I want to share with you this morning, God has a great plan for your life. He's got a great plan for your family. He's got a great plan for this church. Aren't you happy about that? A good plan. He never changes His mind. Mm-hmm. He says, I haven't changed my mind. I've got a great plan. So He says, this means the one who plants is not anyone special. None of us are special. I want to tell you, you can be this, you see them, the great preachers. Oh, they dress so good. They preach to thousands. But they're not any more important than the ones who are doing outreach at the Low Green and Air today. Serving tea. I was there yesterday. We had a great day. Got to pray for people. There's tens of thousands there in that Low Green. Speaking to people. No any greater. Because it's God's word that sustains us. Are we getting this? We all have a part to play. And sometimes it's books, not suits, that tell the caliber of a man. Amen? So what's in there? Books, not suits. Now, the one who plants and the one who waters. Who's the ones that water? The ones that water, how do we water? How do we water God's building? How do we water our marriage? How do we water our family? How do we water our business? How do we water our words? We all speak upbuilding words, strong words, God's word, and we're watering, and we all need to be watering. We're equally important and on the same team. Amen. We're all in the same team. Ha ha. But each will be rewarded for his own work. So although we're all part of the team, we all have a part to play. How many of you know already by the message I'm talking about building the church? Yeah. We all have a part to play. And we're rewarded for our own work. Can't say, well, everybody, the pastors will sort it. The media team will fix it. The praisers will fix it. This one, no, the children's guy, they'll take care of it. No, we all have work to do. Hmm? We all have a part. Even if it's a cup of tea, you're saying, well, I don't know what I can do. You can do some. You can serve a cup of tea. You can smile at someone. You can say hi. Every one of us has a part to play. Yeah? Oh, yeah. We are co-workers with God, and you are God's cultivated garden, the house He is building. Thank God the word says that He'll build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Woo! God has given every one of you unique gifts as a skilled master builder who lays a good foundation. Afterwards, another craftsman comes and builds on it. So builders, beware. How many of you, did any ever watch that Cowboy Builders thing on the TV? How many of you would not want a cowboy plumber to come and try and fix your waterworks? Or a cowboy bricky? Or a cowboy joiner? No! We want a good builder. We want someone who knows what they're doing, a craftsman. We don't want cowboy builders. It says, let every builder do his work carefully according to God's standards. How many of you know God's got a standard? If you don't know where it is, get one of these. Life in this book. Standards. We don't build at a cult. Well, anything will do. You know, I remember in the early days pioneering the church, and it was the same in Africa. We had this, you know, we said, you know, if we're going to be doing this, we have to be thinking about who are we doing this for? For God, isn't it? We're doing it for God, and what we do for people we're doing for God. I don't want to give God second best. I don't want to bring to God something that's not going to cost me. You know, when David went to Onan and asked Onan about, you know, could he have, you know, animals to slaughter, to sacrifice to God, and Onan says, David, you're the king, you take whatever you want, I'll give you it. And he says, I'm paying you for it. He says, I'm not going to give to God what didn't cost me. See, we have a value on it. We put a value on it. You know, we heard about the price this morning that Jesus paid. God has a great value on you. That makes you unique. How many of you know, if you watch any of the bargain hunt things or that, you know, it's something rare and unique has a great value. Well, every one of you is rare and unique. There are not two of Joe. There's no two of me. There's no two of you, Gail. There's every one of us are unique, great value. So when we do things, we do it with excellence. We should be doing the best we can in our marriage. We should be doing the best we can in our family. Everything we do, we should do with excellence because we're doing it for God. Isn't that wonderful? Excellence. Coming in, you know, if that means coming in a wee bit earlier, 2 minutes, and getting ready to prepare your heart and worship. Can't wait to worship this morning. Can't wait to get into the presence of God to thank Him for, I've got through another night. I can't wait. I'm ready. Coming in. You know what I'm saying? Excellence. I look around here, I see excellence. Things are laid out nicely, eh? You got a wee pad under your posterior. Do you know what I mean? You're not sitting in a plastic. You know, we used to have wooden chairs in here. And the mind can only take in what the bottom can endure. So, you know, you were like this, you know. At the weekend, my husband said, you know, we said, we're going to cycle from Seamill to Dungarvan. We had a couple of hours free. We thought, you know, that's what we do when we've got time free. We go cycling. No. Anyway, I got my bike out and it hadn't been out for ages. It's due a service. And got that. I get the bike out. And, you know, I tell you what, I was sore after that trip. My husband says, I think we did 12 miles. He tells me yesterday it was 22 miles. We went over the hills and the dales and far away. But you know, it's comfortable here. It's warm. Excellence. Giving God our best, not in just what we see, but in what we do. And it says, for no one is empowered to lay an alternative foundation other than the good foundation that exists, which is Jesus Christ. The quality of materials used by anyone building on this foundation will soon be made apparent. Whether it's been built with gold, silver, and costly stones, or wood, hay, and straw, their work will become evident, for the day will make it clear, because it will be revealed by blazing fire, and the fire will test and prove the workmanship of each builder. Wow. So there's two things that's needed. And you all know this when you're building. The foundation and the materials. You don't want someone to cut corners. Look at that bridge in Italy. Hey, someone cut corners somewhere there. What was the materials that... I want to know when I'm building something, especially a house for God, we're putting good materials in here. The apostolic foundation laid here was a doctrine that is secure by the Word of God and demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. So you don't need... That's a good foundation. Yeah. You don't want to go somewhere where it's not quite, you know, it's not lining up with God's standards. That's why, you know, I like, you know, when we go to some of our friends' churches, conferences, you know, we feel a wee bit challenged. You ever feel a wee bit challenged sometimes? You hear a word and you think, that's a wee bit uncomfortable. But, you know, that's the word of God. It's not because any one person is challenging you. It's like Paul says, when I look in here, this is a mirror. You know, and when you look in the mirror, you know, you just see, lipstick in the teeth, you know, sort that. You know, we look in a mirror and we make the adjustments, don't we? Come on, guys, you look in mirrors too. Our grandsons were worse than the girls. They couldn't go buy a mirror without. And then they went, and back again. I know you guys, you probably stand in front of the mirror and. Yeah, but you make the adjustments. So you're going to be challenged anytime you read the word, hear the word, because it's speaking to you and you think, I've got some wee adjustments to make there. You see? It's a good thing. Aren't you glad? Yeah. And you know, it says, if his work stands the test of fire, he will be rewarded. If his work is consumed by fire, he'll suffer great loss. Yet he himself will barely escape destruction, like one being rescued out of a burning house. Now, Paul's talking there about the work that we do as our part of the body of Christ, okay? We're not saved through works. Doing good works doesn't get you to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. We come to God the Father through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. But we do have a part to play. There are works that we do where we get rewards. And what it's saying there is, some of you, you know, the fire will come. There's going to be nothing but wood, hay, and stubble because you've been investing your time, your energy, your finances, whatever, into the wrong stuff. It's not lasting. So, but you're still going to be with Jesus. Say, thank God for that. Some of us might come through the other end with a smell of burning. Singed. But we'll come through to the other side. Huh? Let's give him a praise offering for that. We have eternity with Jesus. Amen. But there's rewards. So we have to be careful how we're built, how we build. You know, he gives us, God's got a structure. You can read about it again in the Word and Acts, right through the epistles. He sends a man, he has a called man to every New Testament church with an apostolic anointing. That man goes, he ministers the Word, he serves God, and builds a church, plants a church. And that man has the vision. And then God calls in the people that are going to work with him, you know, with all the skills and abilities. That's how it's done. That's how it's done. That's how God does it. So again, we're all participating. We have, we're the lively stones, you know, and then we have the Holy Spirit. You see, we all have a function in the church, and it's a function with an unction. You know, it says in 1 John that we have the unction of the Holy Spirit. So we function with an unction. So without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing, right? You know, we can only do so much. How many of you know that you can only do so much? You know, in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, they had a building, you know, they didn't have measures. They didn't have tape measures. They didn't have these laser beam measure things that we have today. They used cubits. So that's how they measured. And there was 6 cubits to a breadth, and cubits was a man's hand from there up to there. And that's how they measured things. And six is that's the number for what we can do in our human endeavor. Yeah. Goliath was 6 cubits. He was 9 foot, I think, 6 inches or 9 foot, 10 inches. 6 toes, 6 fingers, 666. So that's also a type of the Antichrist. Yeah. Eh? We're getting this? Yeah. And that's a type of what we can do in our own endeavor. We can build great businesses. We can build great families. We can have great marriages. But we need the seventh hand, and that's the hand of God. Amen? Amen. Because we can do so much more, go so much further when we have the hand of God in our marriage, our families, and our church. Amen. And you see, David, he was a type of the church. He went out there and he just slew that giant. Why? Because he had the seventh hand on him, God's hand. Yes. Give him a praise offering again. Tell your neighbor, you're a giant slayer. A giant slayer. So whether we're building his house, our house, we need his hand on us. We can't do it on our own. The Holy Spirit wants to build a church here that will dazzle, impact, attract, restore, revive, save, change lives, above all glorify God, amen. A mountain top church that's filled with life, a church that's effective in reaching the defenseless, the disenfranchised, the despondent, the depressed. There are people out there without hope. We have the solutions. We need to get off our blessed assurance and take our place in the church so that we can reach out to the people in our community. Life is not all about us. Amen. Amen. We can't leave it, oh, well, that other church will do it, somebody else will do it. No. Wow. What an honor. What a privilege to partner with God. And, you know, I prayed for two ladies yesterday. The one was from Northern Ireland. I might never see her again. But the peace of God, the presence of God when I was praying, prayed for another lady. When you hear some of the stories and some of the things that are happening, you know, and they're looking for help. Yeah? You know, and we can, even a kind word can help people. So, you know, there are people out there, some of them, it could be your neighbor, it could be a family member. They've no hope for the future. They don't know where to turn. But, you know, if we say we're Christians and we don't care about the lost, so right foundation. And the lasting materials, that's for the inevitable tests the church will face. Because who knows, in your life, in your family, in your church, there can be a lot of shaking going on underneath. You've got to know you've got a good foundation. You know, when you hear things, maybe you watch something on the TV, maybe something's happened, you know, maybe it's been a financial problem, maybe it's a health, maybe you've had a bad report. You don't want your foundation to be shaken. Eh? You've got to know it's going to stand, because you're going to stand on that. Yeah. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Yeah. All other ground is sinking sand. Yeah. Amen? On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. This word is our rock. This word never changes. This word is eternal. If you've lost something, this word will get it back for you. This word will bring restoration. It will bring healing. You need a bit of reviving this morning. This word will give you a bit of reviving. Yeah? Solid. Eternal. Unchanging. Wow. I want to be like that. I want to be dependable. You want to be dependable? I want to be unchanging. No matter what's going on in my life, I want to be able to say, all is well. Give you a smile. I want to be able to have substance. Don't you want that? Yeah. I want to see that in my children. Building together. Because what you're building on is the legacy for whoever's coming after you. Yeah. So you think about that. You wouldn't want something that was going to cause you hassle. That's not a legacy. You know, some people pass away and they leave the family with a mountain of debt. Hey? Or family relationships totally broken down. My husband was preaching one message, and I remember him saying, he says, you know, he was at a funeral one time, and the casket was been laid down, and there was people crying out for forgiveness. It was too late. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We need to build on something solid. Jesus, the foundation. You know, I thank God for a good foundation. I can see we were probably not God's first choice to come and pioneer here. But we came because he knew. You know what your biggest weapon is against the devil? Your endurance. The fact that you won't give up. You know that? You won't give up. And God knew we wouldn't, because we had a foundation in our church. We were taught the word of God. It was a rock to us. It had never let us down. So we just did the same. We put in the same foundation, and it's caused us to stand. No matter what the devil has thrown against the church here, fire, the waters have come over us. The ground has shaken beneath us. Does this remind you of some of the stuff you've been through? But you're here this morning. You're still praying. You're still worshiping. You're sitting in church this morning. That is uncommon. Most people are not sitting in church on a Sunday morning. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. I'm telling you. We're here. You're here serving God. Hey, give yourself a pat on the back. Say, thank you, Father. You're helping me this morning. And you know, we want to create a foothold on this earth that will not be moved and can support a building. So, lasting materials that can stand the test of fire. See, the tests are going to come. I'd love to stand here and say, you're a Christian. You're never going to sweat again. Everyone's going to love you. Everyone's going to like you. You'll never have any temptation. Nothing hard is ever going to happen. You're going to be every investment you make is going to be fantastic. You're going to be a millionaire. And this church, you know, that's not how it is. Jesus said, say Jesus said. So you know it's him, not me. Jesus said, in this world, we'll have tribulation. But he says, be of good cheer. Because I have overcome the world. Glory. You see, and because we are in him, we've overcome the world. We're overcomers, more than conquerors. We're the healed of the Lord. God's will is for us to be the shining light. God's will, we're going to have the best businesses, the most prosperous businesses. Amen. I need some amens. You've got to help me here. Our children are going to shine for Jesus. You're saying, yeah, but they're not in church just now. Yeah, but if you've brought them up, using God's standards. They might not be here now, but he's never going to let go of them. And believe me, they'll come back. Amen. Amen. They won't. God would. You know, sometimes they'll say, well, I don't know where God is. He's there with them. It's where they are. You see what I'm saying? But don't give up. Fight for your children. How do you do that? They're like arrows. 127 in the Psalm says our children are like arrows. Well, so what do you do with an arrow? You sharpen it through the word of God. You shape it and then you shoot it. You help equip them for their destiny. Amen? And you and pray over them. That's how you shoot them out. You pray over them. They'll come back to God. They will. Don't give up on them. God's going to raise up, I believe, an army of young people. Lewis, I was watching you in here. Is it good in there? I thought, what a blessing. Amen. Amen. Now, he'll attract other musicians. Amen. Yeah, and singers. But you pray them in. That's, you know, maybe your part in building up this house is to pray in. Could you be doing me some help in the children's ministry, Libby? Pray in some children's workers. Maybe some of you are sitting here this morning that would like to help. Pray in musicians. Pray in help. Just pray in. Pray in some businessmen that can finance the kingdom of God. Amen? I want to be a millionaire. I made a decision. My first million, I'll keep a tenth and give 90%. I'd be happy with that. I've already got the 900,000 spent. I know exactly where it's going, who's getting it. And of course, first will come. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're saying, oh, would you really do that? In a lickety split minute, I've already. We thought Pastor's brother bought him that for a laugh, got him a lottery ticket for his birthday. Put it in. So we've never had a lottery ticket. But I tell you what, we had that million spent. We spent the best evening sitting saying, right, this is what we'll do. We'll do this here to build the kingdom of God. We were so excited. Oh, I tell you what, we never got that million. But honest, you know, we have a friend that did that. He went to our friend, he was a mentor of ours, and he said, Pastor, the first million I make is going to the church. And the first million he made, he came in with a check and gave it to the church. Wow. And do you know what? That guy was blessed after that. He had one of the most successful businesses. And I'm not saying that everybody must do that. You must do that. But you understand, what was his part? His part was financing the kingdom of God and the gospel. Eh? Oh, that's exciting. Think about it. Pray, we've got a container. It's on the high seas right now, on its way to Swaziland. Every one of you, the church here, the church in here, we're sending it out there. Amen. And Libby and Michael and Lewis are going to be there with our friend, Pastor Lassalette. Tracy and Jerry from church, Pastor Bernie's going to be there. We did that as a church, financed the whole thing. Amen. You're helping a hospice for people that are dying of AIDS. You're building care centres for the children. You're equipping 5 churches with equipment, chairs, equipment, schools. You're doing that. This church is doing that. Glory to God. Glory to God. So pray for that. Amen. It's all going to arrive safe and sound. Partnering with God. How many of you have got a lot to think about this morning?
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.